they moved on. After a while, the press of people abated a little, so that what had been a torrent became a trickle. Occasionally, there would be a family group or just one hurrying woman, burdened with bags. One old man was struggling with a wheelbarrow full of turnips. "They are even taking the crops out of the fields," Polly noted. And everyone moved at a kind of half-run, as if things would be a little better when they'd caught up with the mass of people ahead. Or merely overtook them, perhaps. The squad was passed by an old woman bent double under the weight of a black-and-white pig. And then there was just the road, rutted and muddy. An afternoon mist was rising from the fields on either side, quiet and clammy. After the noise of the refugees, the silence of the low countryside was suddenly oppressive. The only sound was the trudge and splash of the recruit's boots.
"Permission to speak, Sarge?" said Polly.
"Yes, Private," said Jackram.
"How far is it to Plotts?"
"You don't have to tell him, Sarge," said Strappy. "About 5 miles," said Sergeant Jackram. "You'll get your uniforms and weapons at the depot there."
"That's a military secret, Sarge," Strappy whined.
"We could shut our eyes so as we don't see what we're wearing. How about that?" said Maledict. "Stop that, Private Maledict," said Jackram. "Just keep moving and guard that tongue."
They plodded on. The road grew muddier. A breeze sprang up, but instead of carrying the mist away, it merely streamed it across the damp fields in twisty, clammy, unpleasant shapes. The sun became an orange ball. Polly saw something large and white flutter across the field, blown by the wind. At first she thought it was a migratory lesser egret that had left things a little late, but it was clearly being blown by the wind. It flopped down once or twice, and then, as a gust caught it, blew across the road and wrapped itself across Corporal Strappy's face. He screamed. Lofty grabbed at the fluttering thing, which was damp. It tore in his, her, hands, and most of it dropped away from the struggling corporal.
"It's just a bit of paper," she said.
Strappy flailed at it.
"I knew that," he said. "I never asked you."
Polly picked up one of the torn scraps. The paper was thin and muddy, although she recognised the words Ankh Morpork, the god-awful city. And the genius of Strappy was that anything he was against automatically sounded attractive. "Ankh Morpork Times," she read aloud before the corporal snatched it out of her hand.
"You can't just read anything you see, Parts," he shouted. "You don't know who wrote it."
He dropped the damp scrap onto the mud and stamped on it.
"Now let's move on," he said.
They moved on. When the squad was more or less in rhythm and staring at nothing more than its boots or the mist ahead of it, Polly raised her right hand to chest height and carefully turned it palm up so that she could see the fragment of paper that had soggily stayed behind when the rest had been pulled away. "No surrender to Alliance," says Duchess, 97. From William de Word, Valley of the Kinnock, Sectober 7. Borogravian troops, assisted by Lord Light Infantry, took Kinnock Keep this after fierce hand-to-hand fight, I write its armaments, which are being turned on the Borogravian forces. His Grace Commander told the Times that surrender had been view the enemy commander. Load of stiff-necked fools don't in the paper. It is understood desperate situ spread famine across no alternate invasion. They were winning, weren't they? So where did the word surrender come from? And what was the alliance? And then there was the problem of Strappy, which had been growing on her. She could see he got on Jackram's nerves as well, and he had a struttiness about him, a certain sockiness, as if he was really the one in charge. Perhaps it was just general unpleasantness, but... "Corporal," she said.
"Yes, Parts," said Strappy. His nose was still very red.
"We are winning this war, aren't we?"
said Polly. She'd given up correcting him. Suddenly every ear in the squad was listening.
"Don't you bother yourself about that, Parts," snapped the corporal. "Your job is to fight."
"Right, Corp, but so I'll be fighting on the winning side, will I?"
Oh, we've got someone who asks too many questions here, Sarge," said Strappy.
"Yeah, don't ask questions, Perks," said Jackram, absent-mindedly.
"So we are losing, then?"
said Tonka. Strappy turned on him.
"That's spreading alarm and despondency again, that is," he shrieked. "That's aiding the enemy!"